Several weeks ago, Pastor Dale spoke for a few minutes about the refined focus of the community outreach ministry team. And that focus was inspired by instructions that God gave to the people of Israel that are recorded in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 7, which is up here on the screens for you. It says, "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." We at Trinity want to be for the good, the prosperity of Boyertown, the city where our church was planted by God more than a century ago. We want Boyertown and Trinity to prosper and thrive together. As you're well aware, right here on our property, we have two significant ongoing outreach ministries that are committed to the good of Boyertown. One, of course, is our Cornerstone Preschool, which has provided a healthy environment for hundreds of children to learn and to grow. And this year looks like it's going to be our best year ever. Also on our property is our community garden, which over the last 8 years has provided 6,000 pounds of organic produce to our community partners. This year's garden has already harvested more than 364 pounds, and I'm told it's still growing strong. Today we're going to hear from two community organizations that we see as significant partners in this prosperity, this good for Boyertown. Our desire is for Trinity to partner with these strategic partners in Boyertown who are already helping our community to thrive, engaging with them in deep, long-term ways that align with their mission and vision. First up will be Jillian McGee, Main Street Manager for Building a Better Boyertown, which looks to create a thriving Boyertown for our businesses, organizations, residents, and visitors alike. After Jillian, we will hear from Rob Lobenheimer, I hope I said that right because I forgot to ask, Executive Director for Boyertown Area Multiservice, a social service agency dedicated to meeting the needs and improving the lives of the people in the Boyertown School District and surrounding communities. Families served by multi-service are the recipient of 75% of the produce that's harvested from our community garden. We're excited to learn more from these vital organizations and to understand how they work together for the good of Boyertown. Welcome, Jillian and Rob.
Hi, everyone.
Ooh, excuse me.
Thank you for that amazing introduction. My name is Jillian. I am the Main Street Manager for Building a Better Boyertown. Wow, it's great to be here. I just realized that this might be the biggest group that I've talked in front of, so I apologize if I stumble a little bit. Building a Better Boyertown is a 501c3 nonprofit. Here I go, stumbling already. It's a great morning. We are a nonprofit, and we're also the Main Street organization. We are located at the top of town, right at the main intersection where the BB&T and the medicine shop are. We're right across from that. So if you have not stopped in or seen our wonderful window displays, I encourage you to stop in and say hi. We did just recently renovate our office, and it is very welcoming, I'm very happy to say. And we have lots of resources for the community there, including the Bear Fever scavenger hunt, which I will get into in a little bit. As a Main Street organization, Pennsylvania Downtown Center, which is our state organization, they give us guidelines to make sure that we are maintaining a certain level of excellence. And above them, there is the Main Street America program, which is the national program. So we strive to achieve both excellence with Pennsylvania Downtown Center and Main Street America. And as part of that, we have four committee program to ensure this. We have first our organization committee. They are designed to provide the membership drive. They maintain and recruit volunteers. They make up our board. They set policies, and they also guide us with their strategic plan. There's also our design committee. They focus more on permanent streetscape adjustments. So any outdoor changes like the streets, the curbing, the lights, the flower planters. We have a tree committee that operates under the design committee. They fix signs and facades for buildings, both for residents and for our businesses. Next, the next committee is our Economic Vitality Committee. Their focus is on our businesses, whether that is providing resources to help our existing businesses thrive, or encouraging new businesses to come into town and helping them to set up for success. Next is our Promotions Committee. They are everything events. So you might have heard of some of them coming out of Hibernation, Oktoberfest, Chillin' on Main. We've added a couple of new ones this year, but we'll get into that in a little bit. And then because we saw a need for it, we did add an extra committee, which was our Arts and Activity Alliance Committee. That committee is headed up by Studio B, which operates under us, and they help with everything arts in the community, whether it's adding murals, repairing the murals, providing exhibits, classes, virtual opportunities, you name it. So what have we done a little bit in the past year and a half? I want to say I don't actually remember how long it's been. I usually just tell people that I started the day before COVID shut down the county, so I generally say a year, but I'm pretty sure it's been longer than that. But anyway, during COVID, we've done a lot of really great things for the community. Our organization committee has completely redesigned the entire organization. They have a new office. We have a clearer mission, a clearer vision. We had redesigned our website, gotten a new logo, received a new slogan, which is everything is better in Boyertown, and we really truly believe that. No matter what aspect of Boyertown, we think it's always better in Boyertown. We also did a new strategic 5-year plan. The staff and board members have been completely, have seen a complete shift, whether it's new staff, new board members, uplifted morale, you name it. And we've also taken our staff and geared them to have a larger focus on the community needs, whether that is the form of a new grant writer who, yes, provides resources and applies to grants for our organization, but also spends half of their time writing and researching and providing assistance for grants for the community, whether that is residents who want to apply for the facade grant, whether that's new businesses, existing businesses to help through COVID, or whether that is any kind of grant, any kind of grant. Our grant writer does support and assist through that. We have our social media coordinator who really shows off what's going on in town for residents and for tourists coming into the area who want to know what is there to do. Which our answer usually is a lot. We always go, do you have a minute? we also have our events coordinator who has been doing an amazing job creating and refining our events to be more family focused, more community oriented, and following more in line with our mission. The next committee over the last year and change, we have our design committee. They've been really focusing on lowering costs for residents who need to replace their curbing. We've noticed a large uptick in that, and curbing and concrete is very expensive, especially during these times. So we've been working with residents, most recently on College Street, providing a larger quote, a consolidated quote, to reduce costs. We've submitted grants to the state to repair the streets, the sidewalks, the light posts, the flower planters, you name it. We've installed 20 new trees throughout the community, both cutting into the concrete and also planting them, both whether it's in memory of a certain individual who was a very large part of the community or just because it's a tree and it's pretty. Let's see, what else? We've also raised money to expand the pollinator garden, and you might say, Jillian, where's the pollinator garden? I've never heard of this. It is right next to Donnie Ellickson's parking lot and the railroad. And it usually, when you see it, it's, you know, there's some plants, but this time we have raised enough money to really manicure it, expand it. We plan on having a really beautiful walkway so that the community can enjoy a really lovely platform in the back, set away from the road and all of the traffic there. We plan on having some yard games out there eventually. So that way, you know, at the end picture is really going to look like a really beautiful community space where people can get out and enjoy the outdoors while also not having to be choked by traffic on Main Street. We've also provided over 10 businesses with financial support to improve their facade, whether it's new paint, new sign, replacing windows, you name it. Our next committee the past year is our Economic Vitality Committee. They have helped bring in 11 new businesses into town, whether it's retail like Happy Zen Mama, desserts like Semper Pie, massage places like Himalaya Salt Cave, or salons like Dolce, or I'm very proud to say that we've just secured a location for a new German bread baker, which really speaks to our local community's PA Dutch German heritage. So we're very excited. Hopefully going to be opening up November, he suggested. So I encourage you all to visit him. Our promotions committee has been focusing on all of our events. We have changed our policy so that we allow any nonprofit in the community, in the surrounding community, to come to our events for free, with the exception of our largest event being Oktoberfest. And with that, you know, we've seen a large influx of attendees at our events. So we said, you know, why don't we share this with the community and with the nonprofits? Get them in front of people who are excited to be there and have that opportunity for that connection. For example, coming out of hibernation, we've usually seen a very low attendance this year. We counted an average of 3,000 attendees. On our evening markets, which we hold on the first and third Thursday of every month, we see an average of 600 people every time we hold it. So we're very excited about the want and expressed need for a lot of these events. And also, finally, our Arts and Activities Committee, they have been doing a lot of online classes, a lot of workshops to adjust for the pandemic. They've started several gallery shows that they can see either in person or virtually, and they've also started traveling, which we've been really excited to share our local artists with the communities outside. Our most recent example has been Birds, which has traveled to the Audubon Center and actually had a really amazing turnout and sold like half of their artwork in one night. So that was really exciting. For the future, we plan on hosting a lot more events. We usually send out a survey to the community pretty regularly, at least once a quarter, to make sure that we're still following and addressing the community's needs. So we have next year, 2022, is going to be our 20th anniversary. So we are very excited, and we hope for next year to include a lot more new events. We plan on having a Roaring Twenties gala, so that's been very excited to plan for. We also plan on hope to plan on having Boyertown Days. It's something that we've been working on this past year, and we hope to start it in this next upcoming year. And that would be some kind of event showing off what is so exciting about Boyertown. There's a lot of unique history that impacts not just our community, but the nation and international. And a lot of people don't know about it. So we are very excited to show it off. We want to share it off with everybody. So we thought, why not an event? And we also plan on having lots of micro events, whether it's floral arranging, working with the local businesses, working more with local nonprofits, you name it. Something that might be just for an afternoon. We're very excited working with more of these pop-up events. More administrative side, we have been working on our accreditation and designation, going back to Pennsylvania Downtown Center and our Main Street organization, Main Street America. The accreditation, we have received accreditation. It is an annual award, and we have received it every year since 2015, including this year. So we're very excited to maintain that standard of excellence. And then we also have our designation, which is a five-year program. Same thing, measurement of excellence, just nationwide. We're starting that application now, and we're pretty excited to work with the state on that. In the next coming years, we are working on our Secret Valley Trail, which is a walking and biking trail. It has three phases. You might have been aware of our first phase, which was the feasibility study, in which we were connecting with the community, connecting with businesses, residents, wherever, where the trail may have intersected. And now we are on the financial fundraising part. The third phase would be, you know, constructing and building, and then we would release it to the public. But it is supposed to be a really lovely walking and biking trail, something where the community can interact with the nature, the local ecosystem, get out, enjoy the walking and exercise. We're also working on our youth involvement. This past year, we've had two amazing interns. One was a high school student who has moved on and is now a junior board member. And then we also have our college intern who was a local high school. He attended high school here. He came back for the summer, and he actually started and maintained the Boyertown Farmers Market, or the Boyertown Evening Market. It's a farmer's market. But yeah, so if you enjoy that, that was entirely run and maintained and set up by our interns. And over the next couple of years, we hope to do more with the youth, whether it's job shadowing, volunteering, junior board members, internships, you name it. So speaking of volunteers, and I promise this will be the last little bit of my spiel, but we're always looking for volunteers. We have short-term needs, such as the Pennsylvania Downtown Center Conference. They are coming here to Boyertown. The entire state, all of their representatives and stuff are coming to Boyertown. And as an effort to show off everything that we have, we're hosting a living history walking tour. So we are hoping to find at least three more volunteers who will be willing to stand up in period pieces that we will provide and just read off a script and, you know, hey, this is the Opera House building and this is why it's important. This is the State Theater and it's from 1912 and all the history that involved that. There's the car museum with live blacksmithing on site, stuff like that. We have always a need for any of our events, whether it's Chillin' on Main, the walking tour, whether it is big or small. A lot of times we always need people counting. I'm a big fan of numbers, so I always like to keep track of people who are attending. We need help with watering crews. All of the flower planters that you see on Main Street, those do require a lot of water. And we have watering buggies, but not quite as many volunteers. It does get a little hot out there. And for our long-term volunteers, we're always looking for committee members. Any of the five committees that I've mentioned, we're, if any of them sound interesting to you, we're always looking for people willing to come on, give their perspective, and then that way it allows us to have more touch points with the community. And we're also looking for board members. Our board is made up of various individuals. We try to be as diverse as possible, so that way we can make sure that we're in connection with as much of the community as possible. Essentially, the board members, they do it because they care about Boyertown. So we are very excited to have and very proud to have so many people willing to, you know, donate their time and care. And last but not least, we always need members. Whether if you want to join as an individual, join as a household, or whatever, we always need members. As a nonprofit, we do operate off of donations, grants, and memberships. So any of the items that we have talked about, and many of the other items I have not talked about, those do cost time and money and such. So our donations, our grants, our memberships, those do fund everything and keep our lights on and, you know, so on and so forth. But yeah, that's me. That's Building a Better Boyertown. I hope I didn't stumble too much. But yeah. I will be stepping off and letting the next guest talk, and I'll be up here for any questions after the service.
Hi, everybody. Does anybody mind if I take this off? Does it come off? Okay. I'm not really a stand-in-place kind of guy. As you heard, I'm Rob Laubenheimer. I'm the executive director of the Boyertown Area Multi-Service. And to give you a little background on me, I'm a combat vet, Army infantry. I have a family, three kids, and a beautiful wife. And my background bringing me to the multi-service is that I ran a veterans program where I housed and case managed over 400 veterans in a 5-county radius, including Berks, Lehigh, Northampton, Schuylkill, Carbon. What that did was it allowed me to gain what you would call, I guess, a subject matter expertise in homelessness, right? And when I came to the multi-service, just by a show of hands, who knows the multi-service? Exactly. It's been a staple in Boyertown for 48 years. Everybody knows we exist. But I can't believe how many people don't know what we actually do. It's really crazy because we do a lot of great things and we impact so many great people. And I can sit here and I could talk to you about our Meals on Wheels program and how we distribute 100 meals a day to the community, which we do have a shortage of volunteers, if anybody would like to volunteer for that. We're getting 3 to 4 referrals a day at the moment, which we are having a hard time with because we need volunteers to take those, you know, those meals and run those routes. And so we may have to start a wait list pretty soon because of that. I could tell you about our senior center, which has loads of activities, parking lot bingo, TGIF, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, bus trips, over 200 lunches a day to our seniors. I could talk about that. I could talk about our responsibility and our obligation to carry on a little boy's legacy to tackle food insecurities in the community with Preston's Pantry. And that is a commitment and a responsibility we take very seriously every day. But what I want to kind of talk to you about is something that doesn't get a lot of notice for us and might be our biggest impact, which is our case management program. And the reason I want to talk to you about that is because what it does is it addresses a lot of problems and barriers that people in Boyertown have. Piggybacking off building a better Boyertown, part of that is building up our neighbors, right? Building up this great community, understanding that in order to build a better Boyertown, it starts with the people of Boyertown, right? And we have to invest in them. And so what we wanted to do, and I'm excited to announce, we've been doing it a couple of months, is the launch of a homelessness task force in order to address homelessness in the Boyertown area. And the reason we wanted to do that is because it seemed like people didn't realize that there was a homelessness problem in Boyertown. But I quickly learned when I got here that there was, and that there is. And so in partnership with United Way Boyertown, we wanted to launch this homelessness task force. People on the task force, such as members of the school district, other partner agencies, and concerned community members, it allows us to address homelessness the way it's supposed to be addressed. And what we want to do is we don't just want to give somebody some rent or pay a Med Ed bill. We want to address why they got in that spot in the first place. What barriers are they seeing, right? What's holding them back? And so when we talk about investing in the multi-service, I don't ask people to invest in the multi-service per se. I ask them to invest in people. Because that's what you're doing. That's what the money goes towards. You're investing in people. The money goes to a client, right? It keeps us going. You're investing in our staff, our wonderful staff who cares every day, and they take a lot of the community's burdens home with them every day. As executive director, I have to be very careful with the staff and the burnout rate among the human service employees or workers, because it's a hard burden to bear. So when you're investing in the multi-service, you're not investing in the multi-service per se, you're investing in people. And that's the most important thing we can do, is remember why we do this. Sometimes we do it because of the single mom with a couple kids that's struggling to work, and sometimes we do it to honor the legacy of a little boy who wanted to tackle food insecurity on his own. There's numerous reasons why we do what we do, and it's all about investing in people and the community. And so when it comes to homelessness, you know, human nature is that we're very reactive in general, right? Something happens in our life, we react to it. But I have a novel concept that I think might just work. How about instead of waiting till people are homeless to address the problem, we try to keep people in their homes? We try to prevent homelessness. We get ahead of it. We allow children to stay in their homes and stay in the safe environment where they can learn, they can dream, they can inspire, they can aspire. When children enter the homelessness system or the shelter system, it is a traumatic experience. And what happens is there's a direct correlation. If you read national studies like I'm a nerd about, then you're going to see that there's a direct correlation between children who become homeless and behavior problems, slipping grades, stress, anxiety, depression. So why do we wait to find that out when we could just as easily prevent it from happening altogether, right? And what we need to realize is, too, is these people, right? I'm lucky, right? I'm a veteran, combat vet, who's struggled in the past with post-traumatic stress and other different issues, finding my place in the world, which finally, maybe I've done that, even though I've been out for 16 years, right? And the difference between me struggling and a homeless vet who's struggling with the same things is I had a support system. My parents were never going to let me go hungry. They were never going to let me not have new clothes. They were never going to let me fail. The people we help don't have that support system. I'm lucky. A lot of you are lucky that that would never have happened for you. So what we need to do as a multi-service is we need to become that support system for them. Give them something they've never had. Give them something that they see everybody else has that they've always wished they could have. That is support. That's encouragement. The ability to give hope. The ability to show people that they can do whatever they want to do. They just need some guidance, right? And there's a lot of stereotypes and cliches about people who struggle and how can they afford this, but they won't afford that and this and that. But really what it comes down to is people need to be shown the right way to do things. They need to be taught. They need to be guided. We need to be that support system. And most importantly, they don't need to be judged. And at the multi-service, it doesn't matter who you are, how far you fell, or whatever the case may be. Our interest is not to tell you how to live your life better and the mistakes you made and keep reminding everybody of that. It's to help you get past it. It's to show you different tools and resources so that you can go ahead and start living life better and more successful, whatever that may mean, right? And so during COVID, we didn't close at all, not one day. As you know, our pantry, it just exploded in the needs in the community. And I had a single mom call from the back of the Giant parking lot, and she was crying, and she said, you know, I can afford to buy my kids food. That's not what I need you for. The shelves are empty. I can't get them food. And so we will never say, but you can afford it. So you should be able to just go get some food. It's understanding the needs at that time and us being able to pivot and shift and be able to respond to the community needs as they happen in real time. And at the time during COVID, the shelves were empty. Parents couldn't get anything. It didn't matter how much money they had. And so we are here to help them in any way possible, right? If somebody's making, I don't know, I'll just throw a figure out there, $95,000 a year, they didn't budget right, unexpected expenses, and they come to me and they say, Rob, I'm hungry. Well, I'm not going to say, well, look at your pay stub. You shouldn't be hungry. I'm going to feed you, and then we're going to get into how to prevent it from happening again based on the resources you have individually. Case management's not a one-size-fits-all model, right? And I think any teachers here would probably appreciate that every single person learns different. Every single kid, adult, sees things differently. You know, with my kids, some need, a couple of them need encouragement. You're doing good, you're doing great. And some need that swift kick, if you know what I mean, to get moving. So everybody learns a little differently. And it's the same in our case management program. Each person that comes in is assessed on their individual needs. And we help them break down those barriers. You know, we want them to see a light at the end of the tunnel, but we are not going to pick them up and carry them to that light. What we're going to do is help them over each speed bump, barrier, and obstacle so they can get there on their own, feel proud of it, feel accomplished, feel purposeful, and feel like they have enough in their toolkit to keep moving forward, right? And that's how we keep people in their homes. It's the whole lead them to water and show them how to teach them how to drink it. Right? Not just leading them to water and leaving. If I throw somebody in an apartment right now and say, here, I paid your first month's rent and your deposit, good luck, the rate of recidivism will be very high because they're going to get evicted 3 months later because we didn't give them the tools and resources in order to stay in their home and be successful there. And when we talk about chronic homelessness, we talk about people who find it easier to live on the streets than to live in an apartment. Living on the streets, there isn't a lot of responsibility, but when you start having to pay all your bills on time and it's trash day and your landlord's coming in to fix something, you have all this stuff coming, it's just easier and you default back. That's why our case management program has been now made into a 90-day program where we will meet with clients every couple weeks in order to go over their service plan of identified goals so that we can knock those barriers out so they feel like they won't come up again. And that's the shift we're doing at the multi-service. The shift is listening to the community, understanding their needs, and responding in real time and evolving with the people. And so what I want to tell you is, and I want to make sure you know, is that when you invest in the multi-service, you're investing in people, right? Not the building, the people within it. And that's the most important thing we can do. And that's how we can help. We, multi-service, can do our part in building a better Boyertown. So I appreciate everybody's time today. I hope I gave you something to think about. And I really hope that at the multi-service, we see all of you, some of you, come through our doors wanting to volunteer. You can always come take a tour, see what's going on. We have our Preston's Pantry event October 9th with a slide, face painting, balloon food drive. We're looking for people to sign up. We're looking for volunteers. We're looking for businesses. We have our Festival of Trees we're excited about. Turkey Trot we're excited about, and all that. All the money we raise from all those events goes to investing in our people. And so thank you so much for your time. I very much appreciate it. And I really hope to get to know each and every one of you throughout the community or if you come through the doors at multi-service.